guess I ain't done yet.
Hey, what's up? What's going on? This is Matthew Kirby, host of the Dear Fathers Podcast, and we're back for another episode.
And what's good, everybody? It's Jesse Alex, the co-founder of Dear Fathers, also your co-host of the Dear Fathers Podcast, and y'all already know we're the premier media platform for Black fatherhood.
Get ready for another episode in 3, 2, 1.
Represent the house like Congress. You ain't known unless your whole team on. Niggas sounds for the family.
Hey everybody, what's up? This is Baron Davis. You're rocking with Dear Fathers, the premier media platform for Black fatherhood. This episode is sponsored by my company, You Wish and Black Santa, a company where we believe that giving has no season. You wish it, you dream it, and it will come true. No, I can't miss my
calling. Hey, what's up everyone? What's going on? This is Matthew Kirby, the host of the Dear Fathers Podcast, and welcome to another day, another week, another episode. You know, I'm always excited from week to week. We have an amazing guest, co-host, father, however you want to call it, with us today. And you know how I do. I don't like to waste too much time, so let's jump right into it. So I want to welcome, for everyone that's listening, the guard for the Miami Dolphins, Deion Shaq Calhoun, to the Dear Fathers Podcast. Hey, what's going on, Shaq? How you doing, man?
I'm good, chilling. Just thankful to be here and thankful for the opportunity, because this is my first podcast.
Well, shoot, man. Welcome to the podcast world, man. I tell you, they get easier as you go on, so we appreciate you having you on the Dear Fathers Podcast. Jesse, what's up, man? How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, man. As always, I think the conversation will be dope with Shaq today. I'm actually kind of, you know, even more excited that it's his first podcast, so we got to get to, you know, break him in on the podcast side of things, and I think it'll be a good conversation. Being that his first podcast is about him being a father, I think that's pretty special. So let's get into it.
Yeah, absolutely, man. It definitely sets the bar high. But, you know, we're gonna do what we do. We're going to have a great conversation. So I'm ready to rock and roll. But, you know, before we get into the meat and potatoes, man, we always like to check in, see how everybody's doing. So how's things with COVID been with you, man? You know, I know you're in Alabama and everything. How they looking over there? They acting up?
Yeah, they've been acting up. People still going out partying. I know y'all read the post saying that people was throwing parties, and whoever got the corona first, they wore something like that. So it's kind of crazy out here.
Oh, shoot. They wild, boy. They is wild. Yeah. I'm going to stay in the house in that case. And, you know, hopefully everything has been good with you and your family, your loved ones. And then, you know, we'll get through this thing. You know, some things are trying to come back like sports, and we'll talk about that later on in the conversation, but other things are shutting down. So I'm glad you're doing pretty good for right now. And if you can tell us, you know, just to really cover this, and I want to make sure that, you know, folks who aren't as familiar with you, you know, I know oftentimes you go by, you know, the nickname Shaq. So why don't you tell us a little bit more, you know, how'd you get that nickname Shaq? You know, is there any resemblance? Are y'all about the same size? You know, what's the background? What's the story on your nickname?
Oh, that nickname came from when I was playing basketball for the Y. I started playing basketball at 7. So as a 7-year-old, I was always bigger than everybody. And I guess my basketball game resembled Shaq, always jumping over people, getting all the rebounds and stuff like that. So one of my coaches actually gave me the nickname. And as I grew up, when I was about to go into 6th grade, he recruited me to go to this high school that I went to. And when I got there, he would always call me Shaq, and it just kept on from there.
I got you. I hear you on that. So you got to at least tell me, you know, can you, you know, I know you're doing football and everything, but can you make your free throws? Are you the Shaq that can make their free throws?
Yeah, I can make my free throws. I miss some, but I can make mine.
Uh-huh. I hear you on that. So look, you know, like just thinking about everything, you know, nowadays, you know, we see like a whole bunch of young and upcoming talent often declare for the draft after being in college for, you know, let's just say a year or two, maybe even three if you get lucky. But, you know, how important is education in your life, and how important has it been, you know, especially, you know, since you played for Mississippi State for 5 seasons, man?
The education part was very important to me, especially because it was free. Like, people know that going to college is very expensive. So for me, I just wanted to get my degree and it being free and my mom not having to come out of her pocket. That was big for me because my goal in high school was to go to college for free so my mom wouldn't have to pay anything or me take out any loan. So me to get a degree for free, that was good for me. And also to get the type of degree that I got with my major.
Hey, nothing wrong with that. You know, free 99 it's the best thing for sure. You know, your situation kind of reminds me of, you know, how it was for me and my mom. You know, she was like, yo, look, I can only do so much. I'm gonna need for you to do your part as well. So I can definitely relate to that. And really just, you know, I won't get on too much of a tangent with this, but, you know, sometimes, especially for us as Black men, you know, I know, especially for those who are gifted athletes, don't get me wrong, definitely go out there and get your money. But I hope at least at some point, you know, they go back and, you know, get their education and just really have it in their back pocket. Because I know, especially even just being in NFL, for example, you know, that can take a beating on you after a while. So, you know, especially if guys retiring, you know, early 30s or whatnot, you know, there's got to be something else that, you know, you all can lean on. So shout out to you on that. You know, and I'm heard, and you got to tell me more about this, but, you know, you and Dak played together a little bit while y'all was both in school. So how was that?
Yeah, that was a cool experience. When I came in 2014, I first redshirted, and that was the year that we went number one in the country. We was number one for a few weeks. So, and also the school up north, which is Ole Miss, our rival, they was ranked number two. So Mississippi, the state of Mississippi, had a lot of heat that year. So that was a good experience. And starting in 2015, when I exited y'all on the field and block form, that was good too, because that I felt like he was a natural born leader. And I hope that he gets his money in the future like Pat Mahomes just did.
Man, Pat Mahomes, he just got that check.
Yeah, man.
I'm here in Dallas, so I hope Dak gets his money too, man, because, you know, although, you know, the Cowboys haven't done much in the playoffs, you know, Dak, I think the status, like, since he's entered the league, he has the second most wins since Tom Brady or something like that. It's like that, let alone, is just deserving. So cool that you got to play with him, man. And how was it blocking for him? No, I know you said he was a natural born leader, but, like, you know, what's that experience like when you're blocking for a quarterback? Are they normally pretty, like, you know, how are they in that type of situation, especially when y'all was in college? What was that experience like?
Man, that was cool. He made it easy on everybody. That's because, like, we all studied film, but the way he broke down things and the defenses, he made it easier for everybody else on the field. So it's always easier to play with a guy like that who knows what's going on and can call out different things to keep us alert.
Yeah, that makes sense. And, you know, since coming into the league, we know you came into the league, you know, as an undrafted player. So how was that transition going from, you know, those 5 years in college to entering the NFL undrafted? Like, do you feel like your process, you had to, like, kind of tough it out and grind a lot harder than a lot of guys? Like, what was that experience like for you?
Yeah, it was different in some aspects, but at the end of the day, we all had to compete for a job. Like, I got draft grade. I mean, I went to the combine. I got different draft grades, saying late, fifth round, stuff like that. But at the end of the day, none of that matters. So when I went undrafted, I just knew I had a chip on my shoulder, but I've been an underdog all my life, so I just knew I had to work. That's something that I always been familiar with, is working. So when I got to Miami, I just knew I had to compete, and it just worked out for me.
No, I feel that, man. It's kind of similar to something. So we interviewed Brandon Carr on the podcast in season one, 12-year NFL vet, most recently with the Baltimore Ravens as a cornerback. He kind of said the same thing. He was like, you know, he went – I can't remember what round he went, but there was a certain amount of, like, cornerback that was drafted before him. And he was like, he had a chip on his shoulder because he was passed on. But at the end of the day, you got to compete for the job. And he just worked hard. His numbers was there. His work ethic was there. So he kind of just had to prove himself. But similar to what you're saying, man. So we definitely commend you on that. And, you know, being, you know, since you've been with the Dolphins, like, you know, I know you played a numerous amount of games so far. Do you have a favorite, like, moment, a favorite game, a favorite experience? Like, what's that been like for you?
One of my favorite games was when we played the Eagles. I was going up against a vet, Fletcher Cox, and he played at Mississippi State. I think he maybe played. I think he graduated maybe 3 or 4 years before me. So that was fun playing against him. But my favorite game of the season is the last game of the season when we beat the Patriots before they went into the playoffs. That was my favorite game of the whole season, being able to beat Tom Brady.
Yeah, man. I feel like any time we see, you know, the Patriots take an L, it's always something special. So, you know, now that he's in Florida, you know, I don't know if the Dolphins and the Bucks gonna have many games, you know, playing against one another. But you know, how you feel now that Brady down in Florida?
Man, I mean, I feel good because you know, the Patriots, they're in our division, so that means we gonna play Tom Brady twice a year. So I feel good that he switched teams.
All right, yeah, so what you feel about Cam coming over to the Patriots, though? What you think about Cam Newton coming over to the Patriots? How you feel about that?
I feel good, but I'm glad he got another job, because, I mean, that's what we all in it at the end of the day, keep feeding our family, get another job. I'm glad that somebody picked him up, because he deserves it. And I like his work there. Also, that's another guy that I looked up to.
Yeah, no doubt. I think, you know, it'll be interesting seeing Cam over there in New England. So I'm interested to – you know, watch whenever that happens. But I think Cam in New England will be fun to watch, and I think Tom in Tampa will be fun to watch. So we'll see. We're gonna see what y'all Dolphins do out there too as well on the field.
Yeah, you ain't never lied about that, Jesse. I gotta ask you though, Shaq, if you had the chance to reunite with Dak, you know, both of y'all in the league now, especially, you know, you in the beginning of your career, would you want to reunite with him, playing on the same team?
Yeah, I love for that to happen. You know, we played the Cowboys last year, and it was just good reuniting with them. So we end up playing on the same team again. I would love it. But like I said, when in college, he made all our jobs easier. So I'm sure he even got better at it now.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. And you know, I know, especially in the league, you know, life is it's a little bit easier when you're confident not only in your quarterback, but you got someone who's on the up and up, looking out for everything. So, you know, definitely, yep. I'm gonna cross my fingers for y'all that y'all can reunite one day. But I was looking a little bit, you know, always checking in to see what's going on. You know, what do people stand on? What kind of issues are important to them? And it looks like, from what I saw, you know, you're kind of passionate about a couple of different topics, of course, including Black Lives Matter movement, equality, and just, you know, a handful of other social justice issues. Now, since you're in the NFL now, do you kind of worry about the politics in terms of, you know, the tweets or the IG posts, or, you know, ever having to worry about being told to kind of tone down your stances on various issues?
Me personally, I don't worry about it. I mean, I'm gonna say what I have to say, as long as I'm not, you know, in the NFL, we have different guidelines to follow on social media. So as long as I'm not cussing or saying anything out of the way, then it's cool. But I feel like all athletes should speak up. And I want to give a shout out to Colin Hill. I don't know if y'all heard the story, but he's one of the reasons why Mississippi's changed their state flag off a simple tweet that he tweeted. Mm. And he got the state flag changed in Mississippi. So I want to give a shout out to him.
Hey, shout out to him, man. I heard about that story. Now, just thinking about that, because I know, if correct me if I'm wrong, like Mississippi flag had a little bit of like the Confederate flag in there or something like that with the design.
Yeah, it did.
You know, what do you think they should jump to? You know, like I can't. I don't know. Like, where do you think they'll move to?
Man, I think we just need to, everybody needs to agree on one flag, black or white. I mean, black and white. Because in the state of Mississippi, it's a lot of racism. And I know Tyler, he got a lot of different feedback. I read the comments of people talking bad about him. But I just think we just all need to come together, because Mississippi is my second home. That's where I went to college at for 4 years. And I still go back and forth to Mississippi. So I think we just all need to agree on one thing, just get it done. Well, it's going to be done, but just come up with a design that everybody likes.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Like, I'm sure everybody knows this, especially the listeners, just the history and all that of Mississippi, man. That when I first heard the news, man, I thought that was huge, you know, almost as big as, when NASCAR had banned the Confederate flags for their events, mm-hmm. you know. So it looks like some kind of change is on the horizon, but you know, we'll see how it plays out. You know, there's a lot more that needs to be done even outside of the flags and stuff, but at least it's a start, you know?
Yeah, it's about time for a change, for real, for real.
Oh yeah, for sure. So, you know, just kind of thinking about, you know, your life and you off the field, you know, I know you have, you know, a little one, and I know she has a special place in your heart, just like me. I'm a father as well. So we know how that hits different. But, you know, outside of the sports arena, who are you as a father? You know, how would you describe yourself as a dad?
I say I'm responsible, loving, caring to my daughter. I make sure that she has everything she needs and never goes without anything, for sure. And I know I have a lot of people that can vouch to that.
I hear you on that one. And I don't know if this is maybe this is just true for me, but, you know, just when you kind of think about life before being a father versus now, do you feel like you've changed a lot? You know, you feel like maybe you've gotten more conservative or more selfless, or, you know, how would you kind of compare you before your daughter versus you after?
Yeah, I have changed a lot because now, like, I have to think about her, like, put her first. Like, some of the things that I want to do, I can't do because the weeks that I have her. So I've changed a lot because when I first found out that she was coming, I was 20. It was the first week of February. My birthday is February 21st. So not February 21st, February 20th. I'm about to turn 21. So I was young at the time, and I just didn't know what to think. But as it came, as she got here and it just came along, I just took it day by day. And we're here now, and I don't regret any of it.
I hear you on that one. I know for those of you that are listening, you know, I always kind of joke around on how I first found out when I became a father. It was basically, and I'll give you all the short version. It was basically a failed surprise attempt that my wife tried to do. She had took a picture of her. I think she was standing in front of like one of those expecting mom kind of parking spaces back when Toys R Us was still around. And apparently they was going to have some sort of dinner, and then she was going to kind of give it to me as a gift. So make a long story short, you know, we was at church one day, and I guess she had told the pastor, and I still ain't know nothing. But, you know, the pastor had came up and was like, congratulations. I heard about the baby, and I'm over here looking like, what the hell is going on here? You know, like, you know, yo, like, you know, that's kind of something you don't hide from us. So, you know, how did you kind of find out? Were you, you know, how surprised were you when you found out?
I was at home at the time, and I think Ivy was still in Mississippi with her mom. I think I had came home for the weekend to be with my family, and Ivy was still, mm-hmm. well, not, I'm saying this like she was already born, but she was in her mom's stomach at the time. So. Yeah. I was chilling in, on my bed, and next thing I know, I had got a picture. So when I opened up the picture, it was two pregnancy tests that said positive. So from that moment on, like my heart was beating the whole day. And later that night, my auntie had a get together, and my cousin had just had a baby probably about 3 months ago. So I was holding the baby, and I'm just looking at the baby like, this is gonna be me in a few months. And nobody ever knew. I didn't tell my mom until I think like 2 weeks later. And I was in the car on the way to class. And my roommate at the time, Harris Williams, I was like, bro, I don't know when I'm going to tell my mama. He was like, man, go on, call her. So I'm still scared at the time. So I waited until she was at work, because I knew if I called her at work, she couldn't holler at me too bad at the time. So I called her while she was at work, and I told her. She was mad at first, but you know how moms is. Me being young, she was mad at me. But after a while, it just.
But she gonna support you if she has your back.
Yeah, at the end of the day, she always gonna have my back
for sure. Like I don't know if she's anything like my mom. You know, it's always a thing where okay, you got the first one, then they be asking, you know, when the second one coming? Y'all gonna go for a boy? Because I had a daughter first as well. She'll be 3 in like 2 weeks, so it was like, when you gonna have the next one? All right, what y'all gonna do? So needless to say, for those that, and especially for those that are listening, you know, you all know I have little man now, and he 8 months. So I was like, Ma, stop it. We got one of each. We ain't having no more. We're not playing Russian roulette no more. Because, see, a lot of people don't realize that me and my wife, we got twins that run on both sides of our families. So I said, Ma, I'm not having no more kids because two kids might turn into four kids. And then I'm for sure leaving California and coming back east if I have four kids over here. So
I know when I do have kids, I don't want to find out via text. It was some pictures, so I know that you gotta get your heart racing, like when you got that text. So I'm gonna just say that once that time do come for me, I don't want it to be via text.
For sure. And look, Jesse, like, you know, just for when we were when we found out my son was here, at that point, you know, I was like, okay, she went and took her pregnancy test, but for me, I'd be asking for blood tests nowadays. Well, back when we was going to have them. So sometimes in pregnancy tests, man, they'll give you false positives. So when you get to that stage, man, tell her to get a blood test just to make for sure. They can't lie on no blood test. But, just kind of thinking about everything, Shaq, man, like, you know, normally we try to, you know, ask about if there was any kind of like funny or not even funny, but just kind of what your delivery story was like. You know, how was it? Because at least for me, you know, it's one thing seeing a birth on TV or YouTube or whatever, but it's another thing being in there. So like for you, like, you know, did you catch the baby? You thought it was going to be like Martin and it was just going to shoot out? Or like, what was that like for you, man?
That whole day, we was at the hospital on a Friday. And that's when she was born, on Friday, October 7th. So we was in the hospital, and the next day, I was still in college, so the next day, we was playing Auburn. So I'm at the hospital all day, and she came at nighttime, and just seeing that whole experience, like seeing the pain her mom went through, and just actually seeing her come out, and me cutting the cord, like that was a dope experience. When she first came out, I started crying. Like, I really couldn't believe
it. Yeah, for sure, and shout out to Lil Ivory. She a couple of days after me. I'm the third. I know you said she's the seventh, and my son's the 19th. So shout out to all these Libras going on. So just thinking about that, and I know you brought up, I was just thinking about it. You know, you brought up those feelings like in the very beginning, but, you know, I know she's a little older now. So how has it been just trying to really balance both being not only a father, but also, you know, an NFL player? You know, I'm sure, you know, COVID has changed things, you know, for the last few months, but how has it been, generally speaking, just balancing both?
Yeah, when I first got into the league last year, it was hard at first because that was the longest I had ever went without seeing her. I think I went from like May until like the middle of June. That wasn't too long. So I got to see her from June to the end of July. But once I got back in July, I didn't see her again until almost probably 5 to 6 weeks later. Her and her mom, they came down for the second game of the season when we played the Patriots, so I got to see her a little bit then. But after that, I still waited a little bit, and I came out, our bye week, it fell on her birthday. So that was her bye week. I mean, on my bye week for the past, I think, 4 years, her birthday has fell on. So that was good. I got to come home and see her then. But after that, it had been a minute. So I used to have to call her on the iPad and FaceTime and stuff like that. But now I get my daughter every 2 weeks. I've been doing that almost for 4 months now. So it isn't difficult now, but I know when I go back, it's gonna get harder. So there'll be a minute before I see her, because actually we supposed to have been back on April 20th, but with the virus going on, we started a virtual program and we did that for 6 or 7 weeks, so that kind of played out of my part because I got to spend a little bit more time with her.
Yeah, man, for sure. And I feel for you, man. Like, you know, when I, even before my son was here, you know, when I first had my daughter, it's like, okay, you know, you get caught up in the hustle and the bustle of being, you know, a parent, just doing all those duties and everything. And then sometimes, you know, you'd be like, you know what, I need a break. So, you know, every once in a while, at least for me, I was traveling some for work back then, and it's like, you know, I'd be gone like a week or a couple of days at a time, and it's just something where it's like, all right, cool, you know, maybe a day to yourself, half a day to yourself or something like that is good, but it's just something about, especially just, you know, work or even in your case, just traveling to play these games, you know, it's different, man. Like you, I don't know, maybe it's just me. Like you start to miss them after a while, you know. It'd be, you know, for me, you know, it was kind of weird being by myself for a little bit because it's like, all right, it's too quiet in here. Who doing what? Or what she done got into? But it's like, man, like, you know, I don't know. It just hit a little different when you start to mix in travel and just depending on what your job is for work, and you really get to missing them little ones. So I try to FaceTime them while I travel as well. But luckily, COVID has slowed some of that down. But I know even when things pick up a little bit, I just start to miss them after a while. Maybe that's just me.
Yeah, I'm the same.
For sure. And just thinking about, you know, everything that's going on, like, you know, I know everybody talking about the pandemic and all that, but especially from a social justice perspective, you know, we still fighting a lot of good fights, you know, a lot of necessary fights. And I feel like in terms of just being a parent, especially having a daughter and a son, you know, sometimes it's one of those things where, you know, you're not sure what the world is going to look like by the time they get bigger. So, you know, what kind of lessons or what kind of things do you want to make sure that she knows, and how do you want to kind of make sure that you build her self-confidence, and especially being in her blackness, just kind of based off of your experience? How can you teach her to be a proud black woman by the time she get big?
I can kind of model this after my daddy. My dad, he wasn't always there financially, but I always seen my dad. So whenever we spent time together, like he always taught me life lessons. He was always telling me something. And he used to always tell me about the world back then. And that was probably, this when I was a young boy. So this has probably been about almost about 15 years ago. So I want to do the same thing with her. As she gets older and starts understanding things, I just want to just tell it to her straight about like how the world is and what she needs to do and don't do. And I want her to always be able to come to me and tell me anything. Like I don't want her to be scared of me, because I know some women out here who are scared to even talk to their mom and dad about their problems. And I don't want her to be that way. I want her to always be open with me.
Yeah, for sure. And I don't know, like I try not to worry in a sense too much, but definitely tapping into, you know, even on my side, just looking at, you know, my mom and how she was there for me. For those of you that are listening, you know, before I've mentioned just a little bit about my background, especially coming up single parent household. So shout out to everyone that knows and has two parents, because we really, especially for those that, you know, are either new at being a father, or even if you've been a father for a while, you know, we need them in a sense to kind of lean on their examples, especially how things are going nowadays. And, you know, I'm just trying to think, with everything that you got going on, you know, do you ever have any concerns or fears about not being able to relate to your daughter emotionally?
I haven't, because I feel like I'm going to make sure that, I mean, I can't say it right now because she's only three, but I'm going to do everything in my will to make sure that we have a good relationship. And I want her to be able to know that, like I said, that she can come to me for anything. I want her to feel like, I want us to have a different type of bond, because I know a mom bond and a dad bond is very different. I learned that growing up. Like I said, when I was growing up, I didn't tell my mom everything, but my dad, I could tell him anything, because our relationship was just different.
Yeah, nah, that makes total sense. And just even speaking on that, man, like how you say growing up, you didn't tell your mom everything, but you felt like you could tell your dad everything. So, you know, what was that relationship like with your father? Like, you know, what was y'all dynamic like? What gems did he drop on you? And what's that relationship like with him now?
Me and my dad relationship is still good. He used to come to my college games, no matter how far it would be, he would come. But like back in the, like I said, back when I was growing up, we would just take car rides. He would take me to my games and stuff, but I always hung around him. Like even being around him and his older friends, But even if you just sit back and just listen and just look at how things are going, you can learn a lot. So I'm very thankful for that. Like he didn't always, my mom was a single mom in the fact that she had to pay for most of everything. But as far as him being there, he was always there for me. And I respect him for that because it's always easy to walk out. He didn't do that.
Yeah, no doubt, man. And just even little things like that is what I feel like I miss. Just those sitting around and in front of your dad with his friends, them having those conversations, picking up on those gems or just things like that, man, that I feel like I missed out on. So one of the reasons, like I said before, for starting this platform is because I didn't have those opportunities. So hearing fathers like yourself who are doing a great job, you know, raising your kids, but then also hearing that you had that type of relationship with your father, that's super dope to me.
Yeah, you're right about that. And I feel like just not only with the Dear Fathers platform, but just so many other platforms out there, and really just the fatherhood movement out there. I feel like, man, by the time our kids get up and get bigger and, you know, maybe if they even think about having their own families one day, man, it's going to be, I feel like it's going to be a totally different dynamic between like our generation and even by the time they get bigger. And one of the, I know this kind of hit me pretty big, Shaq, but you know, what does it mean in your opinion for your daughter to know what a man is like and how that is? I know you said she was three now, but do you feel like that definition of a man has changed for you since you've become a father?
It has changed a little bit. Just coming from the background that I came from, like I was always, you know, I was always taught right and wrong. And like for the guys and young boys out there who don't have a father figure and who are playing sports, I would say that that's also a very important part in their life too. Cause I had coaches that was like dads to me too, white and black. I had in high school, my head coach was white. And starting in 11th grade, he would drive me around to different places just so I can get recruited. I remember the farthest trip that we took was from Birmingham to Gainesville, Florida. And that was a long trip. And for him to do that, for me, that meant a lot to me. When I got to Mississippi State, Coach Mullen, what his program stood on was teaching us how to be a man. So me just taking those gems from him and listening to my O-line coach my O-line coach had four children at a time, and he would always say, if you plant corn, you get corn. So I knew once I found out that Iva was born, like I had to order my steps in a different way from what I was living. Because if I kept doing bad things, then those things might come back to hunt her. So I just had to change my – I wouldn't say I was a bad kid, but, like, I just couldn't do some of the same things that I was doing. I just had to – just change myself, I would say.
Yeah, man, I feel like, you know, a lot of us, you know, we do stupid stuff in life, you know, when we're younger or even during college. And, you know, you bring up a good point. When I kind of think of it as like, you know, like generational or maybe even like family curses, you know, I like that saying that you just said, because it's one of those things where, you know, if we don't clean up, then, you know, what can happen to them as a result? You know, what habits, what things they can pick up from us, you know. So I like how you're pretty heads up about that, and you worked on or are working on or even will work on continuing to make sure that you spot on as a father. And, you know, we've been talking about a lot of different things during the course of this conversation, you know, your NFL career. You know, I'm excited to not only see football coming back for sure, but you know, just seeing how that's going to turn out in this new normal, but also just getting to know you a little bit more as a father. You know, it's not every day, you know, I'm sure that, you know, your fans now, either from the NFL or from Mississippi State, really get to dig into, you know, Shaq as a father. But, you know, we have a segment on every show where we really ask our guests to kind of write a short letter, basically some thoughts, some things that they have on their mind about anything they want to say to their fathers. And we normally ask people to start that letter off with "Dear Father." So if you could write a short letter to your father, starting with "Dear Father," what would you say and how would it go?
I would just thank him for being there for me. Like I said, it's easy for a man. He always told me it's easy for a man to walk away out of his son's life. Because, I mean, it's very easy to do. All you got to do is just walk away and be done with it. I would just thank him for that. And I would just I would tell him I wish he could have been there more for my mom financially, because that's really a burden on single mom, being able to have to pay for everything. And my mom's job, I don't know how much she was making at the time, but I can tell she was stressed. And I couldn't do nothing at the time because I was a young boy growing up, and I was always playing three sports, so I really couldn't do nothing as far as bringing in money. So I would just encourage all the fathers out there, if they can, step up and be there for their sons financially and mentally and physically. Because like I said, that's a burden on the moms out there that's trying to pull through on their own and have to support everything that has to be paid for. And I want to shout out my high school. The high school I went to was a private school, and I was supposed to pay to go there, but I went there for 6th grade through 12th grade not having to pay a dime. So that was another burden lifted off my mom.
Yeah, man. I feel like just even from what we've heard, you know, through the conversation, man, you know, you definitely had favor on your side. You had hard work built within you, and it's paid off. And, you know, I know, you know, your mom probably always thanking you. She's proud of you. And then just even from far away from a distance, man, we not only proud of everything that you've done thus far, but we'll do in the NFL. So, you know, we're extremely grateful for having you on the show. But before we get out of here, you know, I want to make sure that folks know how to follow you on social media. And then also, you know, give us a little taste about, you know, what's next for you, especially as the season's coming up.
I'm on Instagram at DLC61, Twitter SHAQ205, and you can find me on Facebook at Deion Shaq at Home. But I'm hoping that we're supposed to return on July 28th. So I'm hoping we can get back to work then and start preparing for the season, because this is the longest I've been different places, but this is the longest I've been at home since I started college. I've been home from January until now, just going different places, but mostly I've been home. So I'm just ready to get back.
Yeah, I hear you on that one. You know, I know it's kind of weird being at home for so long, but, you know, especially, you know, you have the little one, and even me and the many fathers out there, you know, we kind of get that blessing in disguise, especially with, you know, being able to spend this extra time with our kiddos. So there's always a silver lining for sure. We just want to thank you for not only joining us today, Shaq. We really appreciate it. You know, thank you for giving us, you know, a little insight about how everything is going, not only in your career, kind of where you came from, your background, but also just allowing us to get to know you a little better as a father. So thank you so much for joining us on the show. We really appreciate it. And to those that are listening, you know how we do. Until next week, until next conversation, we're going to have another amazing host, co-host, and another amazing father on the Dear Fathers Podcast.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Dear Fathers Podcast. Please don't forget to like and subscribe to our show on the platform of your choice. Follow us on Instagram at dear.fathers and check out our website, dearfathers.com, for more content. This is Matthew Kirby, and I'm signing out. Now let's get back to the fatherhood journey. Peace.
Real. Time is money and I'm working on that richer meal. It's up to me to drop the ball like I'm center field. I gotta touch lead better when I'm in the clip. I be in and out the cut like I'm Emmitt Smith. They tried to get